Welcome to the Oldie Podcast. This is from our literary lunch featuring guest speakers. Our lunches are held monthly. Details and how to book can be found in our magazine and on the website at www.theoldie.co.uk. Kindly sponsored by Charles Stanley Wealth Managers, providing financial peace of mind to clients since 1792.
Our next speaker is one of our best-known TV and radio presenters. Philippa Frost has presented shows including Tomorrow's World, Crafts and Robot Wars. She has spent more than 30 years travelling around the world and working in some of the world's wildest places, and that's what's inspired her new book, Wild Woman, Empowering Stories from Women Who Work in Nature. Ladies and gentlemen, Philippa Forrester.
And can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon. What a lovely afternoon to be here. And what a nice kind of take us out of the real world, put us in this lovely world for a little while. What a gorgeous break. So I was just about to show Helen my book earlier. And as you see, it's called Wild Woman, and it's about nature, and it's about women who work in nature. And I opened the cover to find a spider who is somewhere now in my handbag, but has travelled up from my office to be with us today. So we'll be listening to this speech. And I thought, how absolutely perfect that a book called Wild Woman has a spider lurking within it. Not every copy comes with one, though. Sorry about that. Can't please all the people all the time. And spiders have got a lot to do. They know they're really busy terrorising people. So I am known, obviously, as a television presenter, and that's what I did for a good portion of my life. Things like Tomorrow's World, Children's BBC, Robot Wars. I still, even in America, get that. Wait a minute, weren't you the one off Robot Wars? And my son's friends still watch Robot Wars, which is quite a moment for them when I do the pickup. and they're thinking, she's changed. But what I always really loved, not only was storytelling and television, and all of the projects that I did on television had storytelling in common, but was the natural world. And that, and animals and conservation, is what captivated me as a child. And we talk, and I suspect we all three speakers today have these things in common, and that is a passion. And we probably all are at a stage of life where we know that it's a passion that guides you through your life. And that's your leading light, if you like. And my leading light has always been storytelling and conservation, animals, and the natural world. And of course, I was told as a child, you can't do both. One's science, one's art. Choose one. You can't be both. I am now, at the ripe old age of 56, able to stand up and go, yes, you can, actually, and I am, because this is who I am. I'm both. I'm not just one. I'm both these things. So I do have a degree in the arts, and I do have a degree in science, and I do have a master's in the arts, and so on and so forth. And there is no reason at all why you can't be both. So this, initially, is a life lesson, because this was about bears, initially. Nothing to do with women at all. I was living in Wyoming, in Jackson Hole. I'd just written a book about wolves there and their reintroduction, and the 25 years on, the attitudes towards wolves, which didn't really move on a huge amount. Once wolves are reintroduced back into Yellowstone, they thrived. Wolves don't have a problem. Wolves are great. They're adaptable. They grieve for each other. They're loyal. They act as a team. They're naughty sometimes. They work really hard. They play really hard. Fantastic family life. There's a lot of good things that we can learn from by looking at wolves. The humans around them all have an issue, because there's a historic sentiment in the States, particularly in the GYA, the Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem, that it's a God-given right to mankind to inherit this amazing place, and that the wolves represented the devil and shouldn't be there at all, so therefore we need to get rid of them. So they were exterminated before then being reintroduced into Yellowstone. So I'd written about that. I'd gotten to know people, cowboys who hated them, ranchers who loved them, people who worked with them, people who worked against them, and I'd finished that and loved it. Then I came to the next book and thought, I really want to write about fear, because when you're living in a place like that, the other interesting factor is, here in this room, I would imagine a lot of people would be frightened to meet a wolf on the path. A wolf isn't going to hurt you. A wolf will disappear into the shadows because they're not stupid, but also they're just not interested. We're not prey to them. What you do want to be frightened of is a grizzly bear. They will kill you, pull you apart, and eat various bits of you. And they might start eating various bits of you before they've killed you, actually. And that happens regularly. And I was really interested in that relationship, because coming from, you know, the home counties, going for a nice dog walk here and there, to going out there for a walk, or even letting the kids out in the backyard, there's a big difference. Have you got your bear spray? Do you know what to do if a bear comes anywhere near you? Do you know that you are prey now in the woods, potentially? How do you deal with a life or death situation that might just appear at your door? So I became very interested in this relationship with that we have, that we are naturally evolved to have as humans, with fear. Because you don't survive in the wild if you haven't got fear. You haven't got a real relationship with the wilderness, which we do not have in this country, if you haven't got fear. The wilderness can produce a snowstorm at the drop of a hat, or a grizzly bear, or a precipice, or. True wilderness is what we evolved to be in, and yet we have no sense of it anymore. We have no sense of our relationship with it anymore, nor do we need to have. So I became really interested in this idea, and what are we missing then? What are we losing out on by losing out on that proper, genuine relationship? And then one day, you know, when I said life has other plans, divorce made me have to move back. COVID made me have to stay in. Luckily, I have a big garden, a very big garden, and it's mainly, there is wilderness, actually. And coming home from the States, COVID and all of those things meant suddenly my world became really insular. There I am wanting to write a book about experiences in the wilderness. No, life isn't having that for me. Life is having zzzt. And we live on a river. You have to cross a bridge to get to our house. And I remember crossing the bridge one time and a voice in my head said, this is what you need to write about. This is your wilderness, and it is the wilderness for so many people. And this connection is what you need to write about, by contrast. So, Wild Woman is a lot of writing about healing from that divorce through my connection with the natural world in and around my garden, working out what that really meant, and then looking to other women, because then there was an aha moment which made me realize, hold on a minute, most wilderness work, most natural writing about the natural world, is based around men, has been through history, and I can give lots of examples, so I know I don't have time. What about the women? What about the women through history? What about the women now? What does it take? Does it take anything different for women to be connected to the natural world or to be working in that sphere? And that was my aha moment. From that moment on, the book just flowed out of me. And so I interviewed lots of women and looked at women in past times too that had this extraordinary relationship with the wilderness, with nature, and what it took for them to have that. And what can we all learn from that too? Somebody's doing something awful to a donkey in the background, or just ignore that. So listening, as we know, to life and what is really happening, what is really true, not necessarily what you want it to be, is what came from writing this book for me. And you will love meeting some of the women in here. Nairadzu is a ranger in Africa now, came from a very, very poor family, living in a village with very little education. Her family couldn't afford to send her to school, so she had to get married at a very young age. Ended up in an abusive situation from which she escaped, and then found herself applying for a women-only ranger's qualification and course. Did that, and her life has been completely transformed. She is now one of the lead rangers in her area, and her all-female ranger group, which is an anti-poaching ranger group, have never fired a shot and have had the highest protection rate, success rates, of any ranger group throughout that whole country. Her name, Nairadzu, is no coincidence, means perseverance. Her story is absolutely extraordinary. There are many other stories there that teach us all how to be with nature, but also how to be with ourselves and what we can achieve when we set our minds to it. Along with, I would like to say, a successful rewilding of my place. Now, has that been a success, that rewilding of 5 small acres near Bath? It depends, really. I mean, how do you judge the success of rewilding? Is it the amount of weeds? Is it the amount of biodiversity? Is it the amount of wildflowers that are now there that weren't there before? Or is it the fact that there was a spider in my book when I travelled up this morning? I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you feel inspired to do something and get out into your own natural world, whatever that is. And thank you for your time and attention this afternoon.
Kindly sponsored by Charles Stanley Wealth Managers, providing financial peace of mind to clients since 1792. You have been listening to the Oldie Podcast. Please share this episode. Look out for the Oldie Magazine subscription offer on our website, www.theoldie.co.uk. Thank you and good luck.